It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Welcome to this episode of Kennedy Saves the World. And today we are going to acknowledge that dogs save the world. They are the finest people that we know, and it is only right to celebrate them with the biggest dog show in the world. And that is the Westminster Show, which what is the proper name for it? Joining me today to talk all things dogs, because he is a Westminster Best in Show judge. He is so legit. Dr. Don Sturz is here. Welcome to Kennedy Saves the World.
Thanks, Kennedy. Yes. Yeah, it's the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show.
That's absolutely right.
And it's, I was mentioning you're like right on time for the big announcement of next year's event.
When is it?
It's going to be May 8th and 9th.
Okay, so I got plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, Lemmy and I have plenty of time to bone up.
And new location.
Where?
See, that's what everyone's been waiting to hear.
Yes.
So we were supposed to try to get back to New York City. That was the plan. We were at Lyndhurst.
But because it's crime-ridden and filled with homeless people. And
so we're coming back. We were up in Lyndhurst Estate in Tarrytown the last 2 years because of COVID. So it had to be outdoors. But we're trying to get back into like an arena situation. Mm-hmm. So the show is going to be at the USTA Billie Jean King Tennis Center.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a really cool venue.
And that's accessible for people in all boroughs and all walks of life.
Exactly. Drive, train, subway, yeah, all that.
That's very exciting news. I'm glad you were able to offer some breaking news on the podcast.
Of course.
So I love dogs. I think dogs are amazing. I don't like cats. I never have. My girls are always peppering me, trying to get me to admit that I secretly like cats, which I don't. It's no secret. I don't like them. And they're always trying to get me to get a cat, which I never will because I don't like them, and my younger daughter is allergic, which, you know, is a blessing. But dogs are amazing. I love different breeds of dog, and I know, like, there's this big push in society right now to only rescue dogs. Mm-hmm. As someone who is a best-in-show judge for pure breed dogs, what do you have to say to those people? Because I have some thoughts myself.
Sure. Well, you know, obviously, you know, I support the preservation breeders who breed dogs with purpose, with a real focus on health and temperament and breed characteristics.
Exactly right. They're not trying to overbreed these dogs or breed dogs with hip problems and breathing problems. They are honoring the legacy of these breeds.
Correct.
Which, if you love history, you should love some of these dog breeds, which I think is very fair.
And a lot of these breeds have incredible history and amazing stories of how they came to be. More often than not, they were bred for a purpose that was to help their master, their owner, their family. And there's reasons for why they look the way they look and are built the way they're built. And it all goes back to that history and their purpose. That being said, you know, with regards to rescue, there's a place for that too, because people sometimes acquire dogs and for whatever reasons find that it doesn't continue to work with their, you know, lifestyle. Those dogs need a forever home, and that's one avenue by which that could
occur.
And
that's lovely. And being a vegan is lovely, and it's very good for people, particularly people who have health problems like diabetes and coronary artery disease and have to slim down and have a plant-based diet. Having said that, I don't want to hear a lecture from vegans about what I should be eating, because I think steak is delicious, and I make no apologies for that.
I'm with you.
So every Wednesday night on my show on Fox Business, we do a segment called Kenna Dogs, where people send in pictures of their dogs and a little description, and we show a bunch of dogs every week, because we like to say it's the only cable news show that loves your dog as much as you do.
I love that. My closing, when I did Best in Show at Westminster in June, the Best in Show judge usually says a few words, and typically, you know, you're thanking the club, you're thanking the exhibitors, you're thanking the breeders. I chose to thank the dogs, and I encouraged everyone at the end to just go home and hug your dog, and because that's really, at the end of the day, That's what it's all about. They bring us so much joy and comfort and love, right? On
they
a
really
daily
do.
Basis.
So let me ask you this as a judge. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at these beautiful specimens, and there are 212 breeds recognized by the Kennel Club, correct?
Yeah, look at you.
I'm very impressed by what you do. So that means that you personally have to know all of the characteristics and the desired traits for 212 different breeds. And that means you have to internalize a lot of information. So as much as we love our dogs love us. The dogs who make it to this level, mm-hmm. who are, you know, these just beautiful specimens, they know how to work the judges. Like, I know my dog knows how to work me when I'm totally. Eating. And he's like, baby, you're not going to eat all that chicken. Why don't you slide a little bit into my bowl, girl? And it gives me, like, you know, the sexy side eye. And it's like, when he's ignoring me, he gets very emotional. Do you ever get swayed by a look that a dog gives you? Like, does a dog ever look at you with these sweet eyes? And you're like, you know, I'm going to overlook the goiter and the horrible gait, and I'm just going to go ahead and give you the giant cup.
I think that moment that you're talking about is very real in dog judging. I luckily had that experience when I judged Best in Show, and that, you know, the dog who ultimately was the winner was the Bloodhound, which everyone was kind of shocked by because it's not the typical flashy, fluffy, glamorous type of dog that wins at that level. But he was a spectacular representative of his breed, really athletic, incredible in motion. But what really got me was there was a moment when I asked each dog to come out and just stand on their own. And I'm thinking, like, oh, the poor Bloodhound is just going to come out here and, like, just hang out. He walked out and he just stood his ground and looked at me. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. And that was the moment. It was like, you know, it's me. I'm the best one. And that's part of it. You know, as a judge, you love when that happens.
That's amazing. And, it, you know, the movie Best in Show is so satisfying. And obviously there's a bloodhound who makes it to the very end. And I
haven't heard that over and over again.
But it's like, I love that dog. It's so great. You know, it's like the standard poodle can't always win. What is the winningest breed?
Well, actually, the Terriers, the Fox Terriers, are the ones who've racked up the most Best in Shows at Westminster. But I think that goes back to that thing we were talking about, history. In the early days of the event, there were a lot of breeds that weren't recognized yet or weren't competing yet. And so I think they got out of the gate a little sooner than the rest. But yeah, Terriers.
So we have a French Bulldog. And my older daughter, you know, it has just occurred to her that, you know, he's seven. He turned seven a couple days ago. But it just occurred to me.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Lemmy. He had a great birthday. He had so much broccoli, still a little gassy from that. He had a bowl of whipped
cream. And they're gassy to begin with, because
yeah,
I have
exactly.
one, too.
Yeah. So it's like, you know these dogs. But these dogs, it's so funny, because whenever we go outside and we see a husky or an Italian greyhound, I'm like, Lemmy, that's a dog. That's what a dog looks like, because they don't look like dogs. They look like creatures. They're, so my 17-year-old's always like, we have an animal living in our apartment. He just lives here. I'm like, I know, because it doesn't look like a dog. It kind of looks like a fat hamster sometimes. It looks like, some people call them bat pigs.
Yes,
he looks like a bunny, had a baby with a cow.
But that's part of their charm.
Yes.
Right? It's that they're kind of so ugly, they're cute kind of thing.
Do they ever win?
Well, hello, my reserve Best in Show was a French bulldog named Winston, who won my heart that night.
So. Don't go anywhere. More Kennedy Saves the World right after this.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
I love that Winston got that close.
There you go.
You know, you got
right there, this close. Yes.
And I don't know if your French Bulldog is as lazy as mine, but that thing, he would sleep till noon. And I know, like, I've got friends like, oh, you know, the dog gets me up 5-6 in the morning and I got to take him out. I'm like, my dog, like, I have to play games to get him out of bed. I'm like, okay, let's go. Come on. And it's like, I have to let's go like 5 times, go and do different things, come back, try and wake him up. And finally, I go, walkies, like that lady. And it also drives my children crazy because they think it's weird, but I think it's very normal. I think dogs respond to walkies. And then finally, I have to go, hello, and run toward the door. And then he finally gets up because he thinks someone might be coming to the door.
That is so funny, because we joke all the time. Two things. One, You know, I wake up really early to go to work, and I get up and the dogs just stay on the dog bed. They don't even move.
No.
On Saturdays and Sundays, they actually get up before we do, wake us up, and then go back to bed.
It's amazing.
The other thing is when, you know, when you're somebody who goes to work every day and like leaves, you know, early in the morning, comes home in the evening, you know, the movies about what the dogs are doing during the day and stuff like that. When you're home and you're not at work, they're asleep all day. Yeah. You know, so all the stress over, oh, I gotta take them for walks, oh, it's gonna be terrible, they're gonna be alone. They're sleeping all day. That's what they're doing when we're not there.
That's funny. So what did the pandemic do to our dogs?
Well, that I will say on a serious note, I think individuals who had puppies and young dogs that came about like just before that, because we do have we have a bull terrier also,
yeah,
Lola,
great
and amazing dog, and but unfortunately she was like in puppyhood when COVID came on, so the opportunities to socialize her in inside situations, as you know, going to other places other than home, didn't exist, and so it kind of I think thwarted a little bit her socialization and her confidence. And people at the dog shows in particular will talk about COVID puppies because they never got the opportunity for those early puppy experiences that show dogs typically have.
Yeah, and in big cities, you know, we have doggy daycare. Because if you are working 8 to 10 hours a day and you do have an active dog, you know, you drop your dog off and it's great because they get to socialize and, you know, you can trust your dog. Whenever you go out and you meet other dogs, you know, there's this one dog on our floor, and I call him Hannibal Lecter because he has to wear this thing over his face because he'll bite anyone and anything.
Charming.
And yeah, his owner's like, we've gone through training. Like, we've had a pet psychologist. And, you know, it's a bummer. But when you have a dog that is properly socialized, it's like the world is your oyster and so much more opens up for you. So for people who are listening who are like, I have a great-looking dog. Like, Greg Gutfeld just got one of the most beautiful French bulldogs I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Little Gus. He's a little Merle. He's just gorgeous. So for people who are listening who've never gotten into it, how do they get into, you know, showing
their dog? Yeah. So I would say the first thing you would do is go online, check out the American Kennel Club website, akc.org, and there's tons of information there. And I think what's wonderful is that there are so many venues people can get involved in. There's obviously confirmation, like we're talking about with Westminster, but Westminster also sponsors an agility competition, an obedience competition, and those are really fun because they're an active, you know, kind of situation where the dogs are learning skills and the family's involved and it's great for kids. Children can compete in junior showmanship. There's lure coursing. There's fast cat, which is really weird, right? It's a dog event. It's a coursing aptitude test, but they use the acronym CAT.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, it's really strange. But it's basically a straightaway running thing, and they time the dogs and how fast they go. And
cool.
So even a French bulldog can get out there and run with a greyhound.
I don't know, man.
Do well.
I saw, so I don't know what it's called, where they have like the hoops and the tubes and
that's the agility,
cones.
Kennedy.
So I saw an English bulldog just rip up that course. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, this dog was so athletic and incredible. I had an English bulldog years ago, and she was not like that. But it's like watching Michael Moore on American Ninja Warrior. Like, it doesn't make sense.
That's the picture I'll never get out of my brain. Thank you.
It doesn't make sense to your brain, but, you know, because other people have dogs that behave in a certain way doesn't mean that yours is limited by other people's perception. So
that's exactly right. I have a friend who has a Pekingese, and she lives down south, and she just posted a picture on Facebook of her Pekingese doing this fast cat thing, which you would just never think of a Pekingese being athletic and running fast. This dog was tearing it up.
Wow.
You know? So it's a lot of times it's a combination, I think, of physical, you know, build, but also health factors, right? Like things we're talking about with French bulldogs or Pekingese breeds that can have breathing problems. Breeders pay attention to that. You know, they don't breed dogs who have presented with those issues. They take, you know, they're not included in the plan.
No, puppy mills are bad.
Different story.
Good breeders will do whatever they can to make sure that, you know, the relatives of the dogs that they breed and adore are in the best shape they possibly can be. And, you know, it's like when you're buying a dog, shouldn't you always ask to see the parents? And
yeah, I mean, you want to ask questions like that, right? See mom, see dad, talk about health clearances. Different breeds have different health, genetically related health issues. And you want to know that that breeder tested those dogs that were being bred for those types of situations. I think it's great to be able to interact with the parents or other puppies that these breeders have bred, right, that they've run on, kept, you know, for themselves. So you can see temperament, you can see how they socialize with other dogs, see how they socialize with people, and take your time. Dogs are not an impulse buy. That's probably the most important message to get out there is, you know, a dog is forever, should be forever. And so a dog is never a good idea as an impulse buy. It's never great as a Christmas gift.
No.
That's the worst time.
Don't do it. Yes. Especially when 101 Dalmatians comes out, because Dalmatians, like, they're not cuddly dogs.
Like, if you've made the decision you're going to buy a puppy, like, put a picture in a box as a gift and then get the puppy after the holidays. It's much, much better time.
That is such a good idea. Yeah. I love that for anything.
There you go.
Because a lot of times people just forget and you save so much money. Okay, so I know Fred Willard joked about it as a commentator on Best in Show, but has any dog ever soiled the ring when you were there?
It's a kind of a normal.
Is it an automatic disqualification, or is it like?
No. I think we all kind of, you know, sympathize with the situation, especially those of us who've actually shown dogs and competed. And I've been doing this my whole life.
Yes, you were a junior champion.
Yeah, like back in the Stone Age.
They didn't even invent dogs yet.
It was rocks. It was rocks. Yes.
No, he's not old at all. He looks like a young Mark Messier. For those of you playing along.
Wow, thanks, Kennedy. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's one of those situations where you can, pursue this in any way you want. There's a lot, all kinds of activities out there. Junior showmanship, I started doing that when I was 8 years old. And, here I am now, best in show judge at Westminster.
Yeah. Way to keep your kids occupied and interested, especially if they have an affinity for dogs. Dr. Donsters, thank you so much for coming and being part of the podcast.
You are welcome. I had a great time.
And Lemmy will be watching every moment of the Westminster Kennel Club show. And, he'll have a little tear.
I'll give you a shout out, Lemmy. Okay. How about that when I'm on air?
I'll poke him. I'll be like, buddy, wake up. There he is. There's your bro. All right, Don. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been Kennedy Saves the World. I'm Kennedy.
For more podcasts from my friends at Fox, you can go to foxnewspodcast.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Oh, go ahead and leave me a review while you're there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You've been listening to Kennedy Saves the World on the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, for a look at how we can advocate for a cleaner earth while strengthening U.S. energy independence. Available now on foxnewspodcast.com.